Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And speaking of freedom, it is Memorial Day weekend. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, and normally I'd say everybody's going to be enjoying a day off from work. Well, a lot of us may not be working right now with the turn we've taken with unemployment and COVID-19 and all that stuff. So possibly another day stuck at home with the family, but hey, enjoy it, okay? It's hard to say where you are right now, right, with the Texas economy slowly reopening. But I do want to remind you that it's also a somber time of remembrance and to all those that have lost friends or loved ones in service to our country. Please know that their sacrifice, it won't be forgotten. And to all those that have served or are serving in the military, we thank you for the sacrifices that you and your family have made in service to our country. So again, thank you. And speaking of reopening Texas, I do have some interesting items from recent news that I want to share with you. Very positive news, I think, and really underscores why Texas is and will continue to be a great place to invest in rental real estate, single-family houses, multifamily, right, apartments. This is really going to underscore that for you. So I want to get into that. And then I want to shift gears and I want to get into a current topic, current for those that own single-family rentals or multifamily right now, because we are in our prime lease-up season, the springtime, right? So I want to talk about that a little bit, how that's going, right, with coronavirus around us, how it's looking. And I also want to talk about decision fatigue, right? When you're going through that lease-up process, there are a lot of moving parts, a lot of things you have to think about, decisions that you have to make, and how you can avoid making bad decisions, right? And along with that, we're going to talk about the importance of selection criteria when choosing that resident for your property, right? How to prevent decision fatigue from letting you make a bad choice. And we'll talk about as well how COVID is impacting us in that process. Now, I do want to give you the number here in the studio if you have questions on the lease up or selection criteria, that sort of thing, or really anything related to real estate. The number here is 855-497-4335. Again, that is 855-497-4335. Or you can send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. I have that open on my screen right now. That is askandy@luinc.com. So now, good news for Texas. I've got a number of articles, not going to dive deep, but I want you to hear the headlines. First of all, Dallas Morning News talks about Alliance Airport. If you're not in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, Alliance is an airport just north of Fort Worth that has a lot of industrial activity, a lot of industrial parks around it, and it's taking a lot of calls from companies that want to move into Texas that are tired of lockdown and want to get back to business. They're getting calls from facilities overseas as well as facilities in states that have very heavy business restrictions right now, again, due to COVID-19, and they're looking to move to places like Texas. Again, we are slowly reopening. They're giving a lot of tours, and you know, a lot of companies that are leaving those states, like I said, that are still shut down. Another article, this was relating to the Dallas Regional Chamber. And they help businesses, right, do their tours, learn about the Dallas-Fort Worth area, help bring them into our state, right? And they've been doing a lot of business as well. They said that they've worked with 20 projects so far this year that include manufacturing, relocating corporate headquarters, corporate offices, you know, regional offices, that sort of thing. And about half of that 20 have started since we've already been involved with COVID-19. So again, the coronavirus is not stopping Texas, and it's not stopping companies from relocating here. In fact, they just logged another 5 projects in the last week. That's huge. Moving on, what else do we have here? Oh, Facebook. Yeah, Facebook is planning, right? They're heavily concentrated on the West Coast, high dollar expensive cost of living area, and they're looking to roll out a number of remote work hubs, including in Dallas. They also mentioned Denver and Atlanta. Atlanta is another great place to invest. We've got a number of lead investors through Lifestyles Unlimited, in fact, that operate in Atlanta. So good places. But again, good news for Texas. Now, Facebook has a presence already around Fort Worth with a server farm, but looking to get more employees here as well. And then here's an interesting one out of Florida. Florida's kind of similar to Texas, right? No income state, fairly conservative, I'd say. But I like this one. This is a company called Optum. It's a software solutions company that works on optimizing software for the transportation industry. They're looking to move here, open up about 70 to 80 new positions. They've already started working on a building in Cypress Waters, which is an area north of the Dallas-Fort Worth airport in Coppell, very close to the airport, in fact. And I like the way they put this. There's more opportunity in an emerging market. So they view Texas as an emerging market, meaning we're not quite where New York City is. We're not quite where the West Coast is in terms of cost of living, right? He says not only is he based here, right, that I guess he's been working here, this gentleman that's moving the business here, but he says he recognizes the region's favorable business environment, the diverse economy, and the booming young talent. So we're talking about North Texas. It's not just North Texas, though. We heard about Tesla. They're looking to open a new factory. I believe it's down to either Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Austin, Texas. Now, there was a bit of a leak saying it was going to be Austin, then it was retracted. I'm not sure exactly where that landed, but either way, clearly Austin is a hot spot. In fact, there's a website called Crunchbase, which kind of marries the tech side of things with finances, and they mentioned that the lower costs, laid-back lifestyle, and so on, draw those tech companies to Austin, and we had 56 tech companies move to Austin in 2019. Again, big numbers. Can't leave out Houston. Murphy Oil, based for 70, 80 years in El Dorado, Arkansas, are moving their headquarters to Houston. So lots of names, lots of locations there, but the business is coming. Those states that are still shut down, their business is coming here. What do you think is going to happen to the population? I don't know, in New York City. Get fed up with that density there. That's part of the problem, I think. They're going to be looking for maybe safer havens. So I think as real estate investors, this all points to a golden era ahead for us. Now, when we come back, I want to dive into the notion of decision fatigue. We'll talk a little bit about how you can avoid that. It is a serious risk, right? You want to be aware of that. And we'll talk about that when we continue with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Lifestyles Unlimited is the real estate investor education and mentoring group that has been taking people by the hand and teaching them how to invest in real estate for 29 years. Our students have been so successful at creating wealth and passive income that they have won local, state, and national Investor of the Year awards 12 of the last 12 years. If you're ready to add real estate to your portfolio, go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com to access our free live training event schedule.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Back to the show. This is Andy Webb, and we're about to talk about decision fatigue. And I'm going to define that for you. We're going to go through 9 ways to combat that, but I want to harken back to what we said in the first segment. Boy, things are looking great, I think, here for Texas for the real estate investor. More and more companies, they continue to come here. The COVID-19 issue, it hasn't slowed them down. Now, I want to address the owners right now of apartments or single family. If you're sitting out there and thinking golden, great times, I don't know, I've got a lease renewal coming up, I'm a little bit nervous. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that probably in the next segment. And I want to address that and talk a little bit about process there and talk about what I'm seeing. So if you've got questions, it's a great time to get those in. The number here is 855-497-4335. Again, that's 855-497-4335, or send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. And I'm just going to pop on over to Wikipedia, and they say decision fatigue. In decision-making and psychology, it refers to the deteriorating quality of decisions made by an individual after a long session of decision making. And I'm sure you've experienced this, right? You've been out looking at a car dealership. Maybe you've hopped from one to another, you're weighing this and weighing that, thinking about price and color and features and benefits. And of course the salesmen, they're chewing you up and spitting you out and talking. And you've got a lot of decisions to make. And at the end of the day, do you make the right one? I'll tell you, the longer in the day that you go with that process, maybe not. And I want to lean on an article here that was in entrepreneur.com. It's called 9 Ways to Combat Decision Fatigue. And as we work through these, I'm going to call out some things for you, the real estate investor, especially if you are just now getting started. You can build some of these items into your processes up front to make sure you are operating in an optimal way to avoid this sort of decision fatigue. It's a real thing. I've been investing for 8 years, and I notice periods where I just do it. I just want it done, right? So let's talk about this. So, and just to open up with the article here, author's name, Deep Patel, this was back in November of 2018. He says, making decisions, even small, seemingly harmless ones, they can wear us down over time. In fact, he says that by the end of the day, on a single day, the average person has made 35,000 decisions. These are small things, right? Should I downshift into second gear? Should I stay in third if you're driving a manual transmission, right? Stuff like that qualifies. But every time we have to make a decision, it's taking some time and it's taking some energy. And over time, it depletes our willpower. So is it any wonder when at the end of the day, even though we resolved we're going to lose weight, we find ourselves with our arm up to the elbow in a bag of potato chips? That willpower has been depleted. And that's decision fatigue. Okay, it's different from physical fatigue. You're not necessarily aware that it's even happening, but you become low on mental energy. The more choices you have to face throughout the day, and especially the more weighty choices that you have throughout the day, the more difficult it becomes, and your brain starts to look for shortcuts, really. And that's what leads to making, in his words, reckless decisions, acting impulsively. Or doing nothing at all, which is in and of itself a decision, is it not? I'm deciding not to act. So number one suggestion to combat that decision fatigue is simply make fewer decisions. Make fewer decisions. Sounds great. Well, how do you do that? Well, you plan your day. Tomorrow's Monday. I know I have to do this and this. What's that day going to look like? Create a to-do list. That keeps you going. If you're going shopping in the grocery store, if you have a shopping list, it's much more efficient. You don't have to spend as much time puzzling over what is it I even want to buy, right? That's a non-real estate example there, but it helps you avoid that kind of random decision-making stuff. Personally, I use an app called Trello on my phone, and I've preloaded any number of possible activities, lease-up type items, going through renovations, make-ready, let's say, turning a property when someone has moved out and that sort of thing. It's just a simple checklist, but it keeps me having to think less about those potential decisions, right? Find a way to automate that. That's number one. Make fewer decisions. Number two, and this is a big one, and again, especially if you're a newer investor, this is something to think about now. Delegate decisions. How do you do that? Well, you build a team, right? I've mentioned it on earlier shows that my wife and I, we've used primarily over the years the same general contractor. And I can think back to the first time we walked a property with him and he asked the question to us, to my wife, what color do you want for the walls? She turned it back on him and said, hey, this is your project. You decide. She delegated that. She gave him the authority. And over the years, that's how we've run with it. Take something off our plate. By giving that responsibility for decision-making to someone else, you reduce the number of decisions, right? Makes it easier. Number three, have a process for making decisions. This is that sort of decision matrix, right? If this happens, then do this, right? And sometimes it's as simple as that. That's why a lot of apartments are going to have an ops manual. That's a decision matrix, you know? And I can think back to when we lived in Germany. I'm a skydiver. I got my tandem instructor rating, meaning I could go out of an airplane with somebody strapped to my chest. Well, sometimes those parachutes don't open the way they should. And I was handed this one-page German-style overwhelming decision matrix, arrows going everywhere, pointing to this box, that box, somewhere yellow, somewhere red. And at the bottom of the page, I remember one box in particular, it said, bite their neck. So if I can't get my chute open and somehow that tandem guest has both of my hands under control, bite their neck. That was my decision matrix. I never had to do it, by the way, never had to do it. But have that sort of decision matrix or criteria in place. That's why we use buying criteria when we go shopping for that next rental house. That's why we use screening criteria to help us, to guide us through our process of making a decision on that applicant. Yes or no? We'll talk about that. Number four, this is extremely important. Make big decisions in the morning, right? As that 35,000 count of decisions builds up and you get to that very important decision at the end of the day, you're overwhelmed. You've got that fatigue. And in fact, researchers have found that the time of day does in fact impact our judgment and our ability to make the best decisions. There are studies out of Israel, for example, when prisoners go before a court to see if they can get parole. One study that I read, same case, same conviction. The guy that was seen in the morning got released. The guy in the afternoon did not. People make their best decisions in the morning. Night owls may think that they're night owls, make their best decisions at night. It's not true. Research shows that it's the morning. By the afternoon, most people, they hit a plateau. And in the evening, we start to make those kind of riskier, impulsive decisions. Right? So try to get those big things done in the morning. And if you're like me, when we started investing, I was working a full-time job. My wife was working a full-time job. We're managing the process in the evenings. Well, we're inherently doing it at night. Maybe move that an hour ahead of your day job or two so that you're able to address those big things, those big ticket items in the morning, right? Number five, limit your options. Again, Germany, they say, die Qual der Wahl. That means the torture of choice. They don't like to have as many choices over there as we do here. And it can become overwhelming. But you know, one way you can shortcut that is with your renovations. Use a standardized bill of material. Like my contractor, always use the same paint, same flooring, same brushed nickel fixtures and knobs and doorknobs and handles and so on. We'll talk about the last three when we continue with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, and then we'll get into the lease up and that selection criteria, which again is an important way to help you make decisions. So stick around.
Get total freedom in your life, safely and quickly. Build wealth and passive income so you never worry about working until you drop, losing your job, or retiring in poverty. 29 years ago, Dell Walmsley founded Lifestyles Unlimited. Dell has taught over 100,000 people, just like me and you, the principles of financial freedom through his national radio shows and personal one-on-one mentoring at Lifestyles Unlimited. I'm excited to tell you about the real estate workshop that has changed so many lives. This workshop takes you inside what we do and what we believe. We'll share with you the five ways we make money in real estate and much more. Just like your personal trainer, the Lifestyles Unlimited team will motivate, encourage, and teach you so you can get in the best financial shape of your life. Call 866-971-8970 or go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com. That's lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com to register for the workshop that will change your life. That's lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. On today's show, we are talking about decision fatigue, and we're going to talk here in just a second about the lease-up process, what I'm seeing in the market right now, especially for those of you that have not gone through this process yet during the COVID-19 coronavirus season. I'll tell you what I'm seeing, but I'm also going to tell you the things we're talking about right now as we talk about these nine ways to combat decision fatigue. You can build these into your model, into your processes in order to make that lease up go a heck of a lot smoother. And we'll get to that. Now, we all already talked about a handful of ways to combat decision fatigue. I'm going to carry on with that. Now, if you do have any questions, the number here in the studio is 855-497-4335. Now, we talked about number one, make fewer decisions. Number two, delegate decisions, right? Build that team. That's why we use a general contractor. Number three, have a process, a decision matrix for making those decisions. Number four, make the big decisions in the morning. Research shows that's when you're going to make a better choice. go shopping for that car earlier in the day, not towards the end of the day. Wrap it up by noon. Number five, limit your options. Now, number six, set deadlines to space out decisions. This makes sense. They just tend to build up as you're working through any project. They build up, they build up. You're putting them off. Well, let me see what the results of XYZ are before I decide on ABC. Instead of waiting to the end, create micro deadlines, as they call it here in this entrepreneur.com article, micro deadlines that make you act a little bit earlier, right? Keep that on front of mind for you. In the end, you'll space out these decisions and you'll be able to hit them more concretely and spread over time, and you won't fatigue yourself quite as much. So set deadlines. Number seven, simplify your life. I like this one, you know, and they're talking about the fact that, hey, as Americans, we're busy, we're here and there, we're bustling about, we've got hobbies, these activities, we volunteer, our kids and church and so on and so forth. And he starts to say, well, simplify your life, cut those out. That will help you reduce your decisions, of course. But I got to tell you, I got to harken back to what we say here on the show all the time. It's not the money, it's the lifestyle. It's that lifestyle that I want to build. I don't want to now have to cut that out in order to ease my decision fatigue. So instead, what can I do? If you find you're having trouble with those decisions, with that process, guess what? If you're a single family landlord like I am, what can I do? I can hire a property manager to take that off my plate. I can hire a leasing agent to deal with that lease up for me. I already mentioned the general contractor, didn't I? Or go passive, shift gears from single family into multifamily. As a passive investor, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. It doesn't get simpler than that, does it? Number seven. Number eight, let me see here. Develop daily routines that put less important tasks on autopilot. I'm pretty good about that. I tend to wear the same shirt every day. Now, not the same shirt, different shirt, but it's all the same. It says We Buy Houses on the back. It has our company name on the front, just different colors, right? Eat the same darn thing for breakfast. My wife always said, hey, I'm going to make some eggs. Would you like some? No, I'm just going to stick with my oatmeal. I'm an oatmeal guy. What can I say? So I've just kind of built these things in. It's always the same. Don't have to think about it. Does that relieve me from my decision fatigue? Maybe, maybe not. But it does make my morning go a little more smoothly. And again, the morning is the important time to make those other big decisions. And then finally, this one's important too. Stop second guessing yourself. First of all, make a decision and see where it goes. If it doesn't go where you want it to, make another decision and recalibrate. And ultimately here, when they say stop second guessing yourself, I would tell you, especially as the new real estate investor, find a mentor. These are people that have already encountered these decisions that you are now grappling with or will be soon. So that when you encounter those, you don't have to struggle and figure it out on your own. You go to that mentor, you say, here's what I've got going on. And they're going to tell you, well, here's what you should do. They're going to give you a recommendation based on their experience or the experience of our collective group. You may not know this. Lifestyles Unlimited has been around now for 30 years. We're coming up around 50,000 members. There is a ton of experience there. The mentors that we pull from our ranks to become mentors are extremely experienced folks, and that's what makes them great at doing what they do. Whether you're interested in single family, we've got single family mentors. Multifamily, we've got multifamily mentors. Very experienced guys and gals. So again, stop second guessing yourself and get a mentor. It's the easiest way to do it. On that note, I do want to tell you, well, how do you get involved with Lifestyles Unlimited? Two ways I want to mention. There's our free workshop. We're doing it online, not in person right now. You can go to freeworkshoplivestream.com. We've got those going on coming up already in a couple days here in the evening on May 26th and then midday, May 30th, a couple days in June. Check that out, freeworkshoplivestream.com. Or go straight to becoming a member. Go to financialfreedomlivestream.com. And the annual membership is normally $740. It's been massively discounted, $197. Lots of benefits there. You can check that out on the website, financialfreedomlivestream.com. I'll tell you, among other things, there's our two-day financial freedom seminar. Day one devoted to 8 hours on single family. Day two, 8 hours on multifamily. I'm actually going through that again right now. I like to do this from time to time. The markets change, right? Things shift. I want to stay up on what's going on. Now, I'm not doing it over 2 days. We actually are doing this also in the evenings, a la four-day seminar, which is great. Already did the single family last week, and I'm looking very much forward to the multifamily sessions that are coming up this coming week. So great stuff. And I've already mentioned some of the things you can do to help you combat decision fatigue, and that typically involves building a team, hiring that property manager, getting that general contractor. And if you're not sure where to go to do that, if you are a member of our Financial Freedom Program, you have access to our vendor program. That's where I've gone to source all of the folks that we use. Makes it very easy. These are all vetted industry experts, you know, service providers. Some of the programs give you national discounts for the big box stores where you can source your materials and so on. So anyhow, now I want to move on. We talked about decision fatigue and nine ways that you can combat that. I want to shift gears now and talk about where we are right now in the leasing market, because we are in our prime leasing period. The springtime is the best time to get that done. Anytime I have a lease that I'm setting up, if it's in November, I'll either shorten it so that I wind up in, you know, April, preferably May, June, maybe July, or maybe I'll go longer so that I end in this period. Why? Because more people are in the market. Sure, there are more houses typically or apartments for lease, but there are more people simply shopping because school's coming to an end. They're now comfortable moving on with their child, not subjecting them to moving in the middle of the year, school year, and that sort of thing. Of course, you could say, Andy, with COVID-19, are we even going to have school next year? I don't know. Stay tuned. Let's see. But let's talk about some of the things that you can do to limit the decision fatigue that you encounter during this prime leasing period. Obviously, delegate. I already talked about that. Use a leasing agent. That takes a lot off your plate. A lot. They'll market that for you. Some will run the background screening, background checks, all that stuff for you. They do different things, different levels of involvement there. I will also tell you proper screening up front. When you put a good resident in your house or apartment, they're going to take care of that. You've screened properly. You've made sure you've got a good family, individual, whatever, in that property. They're going to take care of it. Then when it comes time for them to move on, they've given their notice. It reduces your make-ready efforts. They've kept the property. It's show-ready. It's ready to go. So screen up now to save yourself effort and work on the back end. Regular walkthroughs, something you need to be doing throughout. You know, we've got some property managers that have been on the show that they do quarterly walkthroughs. If they see a problem, whether it's negligence on the part of the tenant or just general wear and tear, they're going to get that taken care of. And they keep that property in show-ready status, again, so that you don't have to fret about getting the house ready. You, if you're self-managing, should be doing the same. Do those regular walkthroughs. Stay on top of that. And finally, when you rehab that property, like we already said, limit your choices by sticking to the same bill of materials for all of your properties as you add houses to your portfolio. Certainly, if you're an apartment, you're going to do this, but as you add houses, single family houses in particular, it can be tempting to try different things. Stick with the same bill of materials. That's going to keep your turn when you get to that easier. You won't have to think quite about as much about, well, what do I do now? Because everything is the same. Now, these are all things that you should do in normal times. When we come back from the break, I'll tell you about what's going on right now in the days of COVID-19. If you're worried that you're not going to be able to lease your house, you're going to want to listen up. Again, the number here in the studio, we're going into our last segment. It's 855-497-4335. This is Andy Webb. You're listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
What would happen if you didn't show up for work tomorrow? For the next couple of days? For a week? A couple of months? A year? How long until you lose everything you've worked for in a fraction of the time it took to earn it? If this fear keeps you up at night, it's time to learn the strategies we teach at Lifestyles Unlimited. Start with the free workshop. Go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com and find your true financial peace, like so many of our members already have. That's lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. This is Andy Webb, and today on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, we have been examining decision fatigue and talked about some ways to combat that. And it's a real thing, and you've certainly experienced it, especially at the end of a long day, busy at work, having to help your kids with homework and then make a decision on your tax filing, whatever it is, right? You start to make snap decisions that aren't always the best decisions, and we talked about nine ways to get past that. And in most of those nine options, I guess, There are things you can build into your processes as a real estate investor. We talked about making fewer decisions. We talked about delegating those decisions. I told you we have a vendor hub at Lifestyles Unlimited. Well, those are the folks I go to hand off those decisions. Have a process, a decision criteria for making those decisions, whether it's you as a tandem instructor getting to the bottom of that decision tree and realizing, okay, that's it. I have to bite this guy on the head. Yes. If you missed it, go back to the show, lifestylesunlimited.com. Click on the radio tab. I talked a little bit about that. But we have decision trees, right? Screening criteria. That's one of those. We'll talk about that. Limit your options, right? Have a standardized bill of material that you use across all of your properties that limits your choices. Make the big decisions in the morning, right? As that overwhelm builds up through the course of the day, you're going to have a harder time when it gets to making those decisions. And if you are like my wife and I, when we started, we were both working full-time jobs and doing the real estate in the evenings. That's when we're already experiencing that fatigue. So shift that forward. Do that activity in the morning. You make better choices then. Again, set deadlines, simplify your life, go passive. It doesn't get easier than that. Develop daily routines, right? Kind of automate those basic tasks, choosing clothing. All my socks are the same. I always eat oatmeal, right? That sort of thing. And finally, and I think very important, stop second guessing yourself. First of all, just make a darn decision. I see too many people waffle and hem and haw, and that's why they wind up not buying that house or getting into that passive deal. Don't second guess yourself. Make a decision based on your buying criteria or your investing criteria. And above all, find a mentor because they've been there. They've done that. They can help you with those choices so you don't have to second guess. Okay. Now we're talking about that prime leasing period. We're in there right now. Now, what am I seeing out there in the market with COVID-19 right here in Texas? I'm talking to North Texas. I'm not in Austin. I'm not in Houston. I'm not in San Antonio. I'm in the Dallas-Fort Worth market. I'm all over the Dallas-Fort Worth market. And what I'm seeing is, quite frankly, that a lot of owners, they are doing what they can to keep their residents in place. They don't know what's going to happen next month, right? Or the month after that. And a lot of residents, guess what? They're doing the same thing. They want to avoid moving right now. They're in a place that they're comfortable with. They like where they live. They chose that place for a reason, and they're doing what they can to stay put. And because of that, we have less inventory out there. When I go to any parts of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, get in the MLS, and look at the listings for lease, I've had a couple of renewals. I've got one I've gone through, and one that's coming up. There's nothing on the market. And that puts the ball in our court as owners. Less inventory, but there's still high demand. I'm seeing a lot of folks moving out of apartments and into single family houses because they've been pent up. They've been locked up in these small spaces and they're looking for something bigger. Now, that's not universal, of course, but when I leased up my last house, that's what I heard from the folks that I interviewed. Now, what kind of impact are you going to have with COVID-19 on your showings? This may impact your process. Now, we got lucky. The family that gave notice gave very early notice as per their lease. You should have it in there 45 days or 60 days, even better, notice requirement. So we knew well in advance this was coming. They happened to move out a few weeks earlier. I was able to get my handyman in there, do a little bit of cleanup, showed the property while it was vacant. If it's not vacant, well, what do? You're probably going to need to lean on more virtual tours. Right, talk with your resident, see what they're comfortable with, of course, but hopefully you already have a good set of pictures. If you don't get those, people will lean on those to a degree. And a buddy of mine, in order to address this himself, he picked up a 360-degree camera that you can take and set in every room. It takes these awesome pictures, and the software basically compiles this into this three-dimensional thing. You've probably seen it when you've been shopping for your favorite thing on HomeDepot.com or whatever. You click on the picture and you can rotate it, right? Well, you could do that in this house. It's a virtual tour. Makes it easier for people to decide on his property without even setting foot in that. So that's something that you can look at. But as I said, you want to start marketing it. As soon as you can get that thing out there in the market. Maybe you withhold showings until the residents are out. Have that conversation with them. What are they comfortable with? What are you comfortable with? And if they're not comfortable, go virtual. That may lead to a slightly longer turn time. But if you're operating correctly, if you've got a good set of photos, you're going to knock that out. Because like I said, the inventory, it's not there. There's very little out there right now. Now let's talk about screening, because you get that process going. You start to collect those applications. Now in normal times, we're going to operate with that decision matrix that we talked about as one of our ways to avoid that decision fatigue. We're going to have a screening criteria, selection criteria, it might be called. And you're going to define in advance, before you even get to that process, what kind of resident am I looking for? And what am I maybe going to decline them based upon? For example, I'm looking at a sample here that I picked up somewhere. It defines income requirements, gross monthly income for all leaseholders must equal X times the monthly rental amount you decide. We typically operate with three times. I want to see three times. So if rent's $1,000, they need to have at least $3,000 in gross monthly income coming in the door. And it must be verifiable. Let me tell you why. You may collect some pay stubs from those applicants, and that's good. That's a start. But you're going to always want to verify. You're going to want to always do that background check, that credit check. Call those employers. Call those landlords. A few years ago, I can remember, we collected pay stubs from a very promising young couple. A realtor had actually brought them to us. Typically, when a realtor gets involved for the applicants, they're stronger, I have found, but not always. Everything looked good on paper. I always hand this part of the process off to my wife because she's way more diligent about it than I am. Quite frankly, she does a great job. It takes that decision off of my plate when she's done her background, her credit, all that analysis and says, these are the ones. Okay, we're good. Let's go. Well, she started digging in, called the employer. Lo and behold, the fellow had been laid off a couple days prior. He knew this when he saw our house. He knew this when he submitted his pay stubs. We found it out. His realtor was furious. Point is, do that digging. It's worth your time. Think about COVID-19. A lot of people are getting laid off. There's a lot of unemployment. There's a lot of furloughs out there. Ask those questions. Get those documents. Do your due diligence. Call those employers. Call those prior landlords, those prior apartments where they lived before. Another example, none of these hurt us because we do our due diligence. Same house, in fact. I remember showing it to a gentleman. I showed him my one-page screening criteria. We walked through what we're looking for. I remember pointing at evictions. He said, yeah, none of those. Don't worry about that. I took his application fee. Wife ran the background. Not one, not two, but three evictions. He thought we weren't going to do it. We'd just pocket the money. He'd get the house, and that was that. But we do our due diligence, and you should too. And we follow our selection criteria. What else might you look at? We talked about employment. Self-employment must provide tax returns and bank statements so that we can see that they are making the money that they tell us that they are, right? Prior rental history, we talked about renter's insurance. We do ask that they have that. Animals, that's a hot topic, isn't it? I had a guest on the show a while back. We talked about the emotional support animals. You have to be very, very careful. In fact, when you put your screening criteria together, you should have this disclaimer at the top. Equal housing, this community or house, whatever, does not discriminate against any person because of blah, 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 the seven protected classes, and will comply with state and federal fair housing and so on. At the bottom, we have the equal housing opportunity house with the equal sign in there. Put that on your documentation to clearly advertise and make it known we do not discriminate. There's a signature line. Have them sign it. On ours, we have a signature line. That gentleman that said, hey, no evictions, he signed it. He acknowledged that he had read the basis on which we would make our decisions. Well, it came back false, not once, but three times. So get that signed. That's their acknowledgement. No return of application fee at that point. You've had your chance. But it's very, very important to have that selection criteria. Are we doing anything different now during COVID-19? No. Stick to your criteria. Do not relax it. Know that the response time, this is what we're seeing, response time from those current and past employers and from those current and past residences, it is a little bit slower right now. Think about it. Apartments are maybe staffed a little less. Someone's been furloughed here and there at their job. People have been furloughed, so HR is not able to turn those requests quite as fast. We ran into that. But be patient. Do not rush. Follow your process from start to finish. And watch out for those folks, right? There may have been some furloughs. There may have been some layoffs. So that's the big thing to keep your eye on. We got lucky in our lease up more recently in that both of those applicants were in essential positions. So they were still working, made it a very, very easy decision for us. So follow your selection criteria. So we've talked about decision fatigue today. Selection criteria plays into that, plays into having a process. You should have multiple processes in place for multiple parts of what we do as real estate investors. And stick to those. It's that simple. And if you're not sure what processes those should be, find a mentor. Come check out lifestylesunlimited.com. I told you about the free workshop, freeworkshoplivestream.com, or just come join us. It's heavily discounted right now. It's a great program. financialfreedomlivestream.com. Again, financialfreedomlivestream.com. Come join me. I'll be on the sessions this week, in fact, listening in as a student. Yeah, thank you for listening today. This is the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. And I encourage you, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. You have a good day.
Listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.